Thank you, Benedict. I like that song. It's got a great message in that song. Too many people are living in the past,
Amen.
Which makes them not able to do anything for God today or in the future.
That's right.
You got to get rid of that past. You got to forget about that past. You got to go forward. Amen. While the Lord's working your life and heart, and just have Him use you every single day of your life. Amen. Nothing you can do about yesterday. It's gone. It's history. But today we can live for the Lord, and tomorrow we can. The Lord tarries, and if we are still here tomorrow, we can. All right, if you'll stand with me for the reading of the Word, we're going to read Romans 15:4 first, and then we'll go over to James, and we'll look at James chapter 1. Romans chapter 15, verse 4. I'll read, you just listen, follow along. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. James 1 and verse 19. James chapter 1, verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. We could have a sermon on that right now. I need to learn that second one. First one, first and second. Swift to hear, slow to speak. So often we're so quick to speak and slow to hear. Anyway. Verse 20, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Father, thank you again that we can gather together today. It's good to be in church. Please bless the word as it goes forth. Father, hide me behind a cross. Lord, just help me to bring the message that you have for all of us today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. I joked with someone a little while ago. I have a booklet up here. I was going to preach out of this. Recently, I bought a brushless angle grinder cutoff tool. Guys, it's a cordless. It goes with the set that I have. So I can pop a battery from one and throw it on another one. I'm not going to preach out of this book, but it's got something in here that I want to bring up to you. The title of the message today is When You Are Instructed What to Do But You Ignore It. Let me say that again. When you are instructed what to do but you ignore it. I just read you some scripture about the scriptures. And we're going to get into that and talk about that a little bit today. I just bought this tool within the last month, and I noticed something in this little booklet. You open up the booklet, and of course it tells you what this tool is. It's got the little different parts diagram. But immediately on the very first page, it's got a warning down at the bottom. Warning. Remove the tool from the package and examine it carefully. Why do you have to be warned about that? Do not discard the carton or any packaging material until all parts have been examined. But there's a warning there about that. If there's any parts missing, damaged, blah, blah, blah. And you turn the page and there's some more warnings here. The operation of any power tool can result in foreign objects being thrown into your eyes. Obviously, wear eye protection. Warning. Read all safety instructions and warnings throughout this booklet. It just goes on and on and on. And what I counted and what I noticed, there's 18 warnings and cautions in the first 17 pages of this booklet. Before you even get to how to operate the thing. You know, us guys, what we do is we take something out of the box and we ignore these things. Right? Throw it away. What do we need instructions for? We don't need an instruction manual. We don't need to know all of these warnings and cautions there. And so often we do that. We just put it aside until it won't work right. Something's wrong. What do? Then, pull out the book. wrong. I wasn't supposed to do that. That's why I got hurt. There's warnings in here for a reason. It's trying to keep you safe and trying to keep the company probably from a lawsuit, right? But it's designed to keep you safe. Now, I will say this. Anytime I operate any kind of a cordless tool, like a saw, reciprocating saw, grinder, this is a grinder, I take the battery off from it. Maybe you don't do that, guys. I don't need to do that. I'm a man. Okay, well, when you're missing fingers and hands and noses and ears and stuff, maybe then you'll... I always do that. That's one of my things. I pop the battery off, set it down, and then I change the blades. I don't want to accidentally pull the trigger while I'm putting a new blade on or taking a blade off. I like my fingers. I like my hands, don't you? God gave them to us for a reason. So I pull the battery off, and then I change the blade, change the grinding stone, do whatever, and then I put the battery back in after I'm ready to go. And then it'll work properly. Some of this other stuff, to be honest with you, I kind of ignore some of this other, all these 18 warnings and cautions. But they're here for a reason. And they're there to protect you. And you get one of these with every power tool, right? I mean, just about anything at all, you'll get some kind of a little booklet. Even if you buy something for the house, a coffee maker, it's going to have all kinds of warnings in the coffee about the coffee maker. There's warnings throughout everything that we do today. You buy a car, there's going to be, open up the book, it's going to warn you about certain things. Those are good things. Those are useful things for us. But the Bible is our operating procedures for life.
Amen.
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 How often do we ignore the warnings in Scripture?
Amen.
How often do we just leave the Bible closed up and on a shelf somewhere or whatever, and there's warnings in that Bible? There's things in there that you need to know.
Amen.
That God has put in there for a reason. God just didn't one day say, I ain't got nothing to do, so I think I'll just write a book that nobody's going to read. God would never have said that. But some Christians today and some people have the idea that this book is something I don't need. But we all need it. You're going through life and you need some instruction. You're going through life and you need some warnings. Preacher's not the only guy that's supposed to give you the warnings.
Amen.
You get them on your own Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. If you come to church Sunday and Wednesday, you still need to read the warnings and the admonitions throughout the week from this Bible.
Amen.
Someday, when you get to heaven and you stand at the judgment seat of Christ because you're saved, and God brings up your life, and you've got some things there that you're going to have to answer to God for, He's going to simply repeat or say, I gave you my word. I gave you the instruction manual for life. I told you about all of the warnings in Scripture, and yet, sorry, but you ignored them. You can't ever blame God for not giving us the warnings. I can't. If something happens to me, I don't think that I can sue this company for something that I did wrong. They're going to open up the book and they're going to say, wait a minute, on page 4, we had a warning in here. That's page 7. Let me turn the page. We put this warning in here on page 10. Did you not see it? No, I didn't read it. Oh, well, it's there in writing. Have a nice day. Right? That's what they're going to do. You ignore the warning that they have in writing. They put it in writing to protect them, but also to protect you. And yet so often we ignore this Bible. We just ignore it. Or we'll read it and we'll skim over it. And we don't heed what it says. I read to you from James chapter 1 a few moments ago. And I'm just going to go back over there real fast. The Bible talks about, in verse 22 of James 1, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. We're to do what the Bible says. We're to act upon what God gives us. So when you're instructed what to do and you ignore it, whose fault is that? Your fault. My fault. I got four things written down here, and we're not going to get through them all this morning, but I got four things written down that will help you if you'll write these things down and put them into practice. When you have instruction, and it's given to you very clearly, God does not beat around the bush. God does not give us something that we can sit around just scratching our heads, not understanding. Now, I'll tell you this. There are some things in the Bible that I haven't grasped yet. There's some prophecies that I just, it goes right over my head. I don't spend a lot of time maybe studying them. I figure that prophecy is something going on in the future, and when I hit that point in time, that's when I'll know what it is. We know the Lord's coming back one of these days. We know that He's going to set up His millennial reign that He's going to rule from in the future. We all know that. It's all coming. We don't know all the amazing details of everything. God has only given us in His Bible what He wants us to know. No more than that. But He has given us some instructions. And He's told us how to live our lives. He gave us things to do and He gave us things not to do. Why so often do we do the things that we're not supposed to do and we don't do the things that He tells us to do? And then when things don't go right in our life, we blame God sometimes. The first of these four things that I want to give you is the warnings of Scripture. The warnings of Scripture. I hope you have a copy of God's Word. I think most of you do. Either you have a big black Bible like this, or you got another colored Bible, or maybe you use your device. Maybe you have it's on your phone. A lot of people have their Bibles on their phone today, and their iPads and Kindles and all of that other stuff. I still read my Bible from the pages of Scripture. Only a handful, a few times that I'll ever read the Bible off from a device. I like opening the Bible up and seeing the page and reading the words and making notes and cross-references and things. But hey, if that's all you have, then praise God for it. Use it. We have the warnings of Scripture that the Lord has given to us. Why don't we heed them? Why don't we do them? Why don't we do what God tells us to do? You know, it all started over there in the Garden of Eden. Everything started in the Garden of Eden. Genesis chapter 2. God gave some warnings to Adam primarily, and then Adam was to give those instructions to his wife Eve. But God gave very specific details of what to do and what not to do. Did he not? Yeah. I'm going to read them to you, just so you know. Genesis chapter 2, look at verse 15. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 15. You know something I saw this morning I never saw before? You ever do that? You read along and all of a sudden, whoa, where'd that come from? That wasn't in the Bible the last time I read it. Yeah, it was there all the time. I just saw something this morning. Lord, I've been saved a long time, and I've been reading this book a long time. And I just noticed this. Look at verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Do you know that God did not create Adam in the Garden of Eden? I never realized that before. Didn't you always think that God created him in the Garden of Eden? Of course. We all had that visual thought. That's not what the Bible says. God created Adam somewhere else and then put him in the garden. Actually picked him up, said, hey, come follow me, or go over yonder. There's where you're going to be. I don't know how that all worked out, but that's what we see, that God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Hang on a minute. Oh, look at verse 8. Go back to verse 8. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there He put the man whom He had formed. You see that? He'd already formed him. And then God went and planted a garden. Now, when God plants a garden, He comes up instantaneously. It's not like our gardens. You know, we plant in the spring, early summer, and we got to wait a month or two or three or whatever to get whatever it is that we planted. No, God went out and He planted a garden, and all of a sudden it was in full bloom. It was I mean, trees are got fruit on it, and the vegetables are all ready to pick, and everything is ripe and ready to go when God planted that garden. But when God planted a garden, then He put man into the garden. I wanted to share that with you. I never saw that before. Maybe you've seen it and you're a lot smarter than me, but I just never realized that. Now, Eve came from Adam, right?
Yeah.
And that took place in the Garden of Eden. But where was Adam created, Lord? I'd like to know. Outside the garden somewhere. All right, verse 16. Genesis 2:16. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt, what?
Surely
die. And the Lord God said, it's not good that man should be alone, blah, blah, blah. But we see here specifically God told Adam exactly what not to do. Right? The warnings are right there. Adam had, I think, he was just created and he had perfect hearing. Eve could not go around and say, you're deaf. You need to see a doctor. No, she never did that. Now, well, us guys have selective hearing. Amen? Kathy's always said, I just had a DOT inspection for driving a bus. And she says, one of the first things was your hearing okay? Yes, my hearing is fine. I passed the test. If my hearing wasn't okay, I wouldn't have passed the test. And she wanted to know how the test went. I said, well, the doctor stands over, a few feet away and he whispers something and you got to tell him what he said. That's no test. He wants me to go to a specialist and get my hearing done. My hearing's great. I can hear things that it's sometimes when I hear her voice, I don't hear her voice. You know how that goes, right? Come on, guys, help me out. I know I got a crowd in here that's saying amen in their heart, but they don't want to say anything out loud. You don't want the elbow in the rib. Adam heard the specific instructions from God. God made it very clear. I mean, I've got it in black and white. Now, Adam didn't have it written down, but Adam was told by God, this is what you do. This is what you don't do. He says, if you eat the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he says, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. You can't get it much clearer than that. I didn't count up how many words were there, but that's what God said, look, this is it. We have it today in verse 17 of our Bible. Very simple. And so the warnings of Scripture started in the Garden of Eden, or started here with God, with the very first man that God created. And what did man do with that warning? What did Adam do with that warning? Did he heed it?
No.
Well, he did maybe for a little while, for a short time, until chapter 3 comes along, and until the serpent comes along. Until his wife was over there talking with the serpent and the serpent was talking to her, that's when the world fell into sin. But God gave the warning. God told them what not to do and they did it anyway. So was God at fault for sin plunging into this world? No. No, you can't blame God for that. A lot of people do. I've even heard Christians blame God for the sin problems today in the world. You can't blame God for any sin whatsoever.
Amen.
It's all up to man. It's up to us. God stuck it in one verse to try to keep it as simple as possible. And yet, Adam simply ignored what God told him. Psalm 119, go over there please. Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verse 130. Psalm 119, verse 130. And again, how often do you and I ignore the warnings of Scripture? Even some of us seasoned and quote-unquote mature Christians sometimes ignore the warnings of God.
Amen.
We read in the Bible what we should be doing and we don't do it. We read in the Bible what we shouldn't be doing and we end up doing that. And then we wonder sometimes why we have issues and why we have problems and why whatever is going on. But look what verse 130 says. 130 of Psalm 119. The entrance of thy words, what? Giveth light and giveth understanding unto the... Right up here. Simple. Amen. God gives us, the Bible gives us, the words of life. It gives us the understanding that we need. And God doesn't write anything just for the sake of filling up a page. God doesn't put something in the Bible that you can't do. I've been telling you this lately. I'm tired of hearing people say, I can't do this. I can't come to church. I can't read my... I can't. No, it's not that you can't. It's just that you won't. There's a big difference. God makes it clear. God keeps it simple. And yet we still ignore it. Look at Deuteronomy. Chapter 17. Deuteronomy 17. Deuteronomy chapter 17. These are the instructions that Moses, under the inspiration of God, was giving to the nation of Israel as to what the king was to do. Remember, they don't have a king yet, but God knew. He knew that one of these days they're going to reject the judges that God had put into place, and that Israel wanted a king. They wanted to be like all the other nations. So God has given Moses the instruction way ahead of time of exactly what the king's responsibility was to do and how the king was to respond and how the king was to set up his kingdom under God. And there's all of these regulations we see there in verse 14. When thou art come into the land, unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shalt possess it, and shalt dwell therein, and shalt say, I will set a king over me, like as all the nations that are about me. Thou shalt in any wise set him king over thee, whom the Lord thy God shall choose. One from among the brethren shalt thou set king over thee. Thou mayest not set a stranger over thee, which is not thy brother. But he shall not multiply horses to himself, nor cause the people to return to Egypt, to the end that he should multiply horses. For as much as the Lord hath said unto you, ye shall henceforth return no more that way. Neither shall he multiply wives to himself, that his heart turn not away. Neither shall he greatly multiply to himself silver and gold. And it shall be, when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priests, the Levites. Do you know that the king was to actually handwrite a copy of the Word of God out? Isn't that what it says? He's to make a copy. He's to write this out. That's how important it was for the king to know the Word of God. Wouldn't it be a blessing if our presidents of the United States that have come along would all stop and write out the first five books of the Bible? That might change some things. Amen. But that was the requirement of the kings of Israel. And yet, some of them did it. Some of them ignored this and did not do that. But it was a responsibility of them to write out the Bible, to write it out, get a copy from the Levites. He was to go to the priest, and he was to say, I need a copy of the law. He was to take that home, and he was to get himself out some paper and a nice pen or pencil or whatever it was he had, and he was to sit there and look at it and copy it out. I'll tell you, when you write out the Word of God, it does something in your heart and in your mind. You remember things a lot better when you copy and write out all of the words. And look at verse 19. And it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life. That tells me that he's supposed to read the Word of God, what? All the days of his life. That to me is daily Bible reading. Yes, it is. Daily Bible reading. Not once a week, not once a month, not once a year. Daily reading the Bible. That's what God told. He's supposed to do that all the days of his life. Not just during his time as a king, but his entire time of life. That's what I'm supposed to do. That's what you're supposed to do. Until I can't read anymore, or until I die, or the Lord gets me, I'm supposed to read this Bible on a daily basis. But Pastor, you've been reading it for so long. And yeah, but I'm never done reading it.
Amen.
Did you ever notice that? We never get done reading the Bible. Now I know in a few days we'll be done with the New Testament, and we'll be done with the book of Proverbs, and we're halfway through the Old Testament if you're doing our daily Bible. I understand that. And on July 1st, I go right back to Matthew 1 again. And on December 31st, I go right back to Genesis 1:1 again. And I just keep reading. But I never get done reading. Because when I don't even really finish it. I go to the end, then I start over again. It's hard to explain, but that's the way it is. Daily Bible reading is. But that's how often God wants us to read. He says, all the days of thy life. That he may learn to fear the Lord his God.
Amen.
How do you learn to fear God? By reading his word.
Amen.
We have a lot of people today who don't fear God.
Amen.
They don't fear his word. They don't fear the things of God. They just have no fear. The reason to fear God and to read his word daily is what? To keep all the words of this law and these statutes, to do them. To be a doer of the word, James 1, we just read a little while ago, right? To be a doer of the word, not just a hearer. It's important that we understand it. Verse 20. That his heart be not lifted up above his brethren, and that he turn not aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left, to the end that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel. And so there's plenty of warnings in Scripture. The Bible tells us what to do. The Bible tells us not what to do. It's up to us to heed what the Bible says. Look at Psalm. Go back to Psalm 119 again. Psalm 119. Look at verse 9. 119. Psalm 119, verse 9. Psalm 119, verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? That's a good question. How does a young man, how does a young woman, how does anybody keep their way clean? Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? It says the answer is by taking heed thereto according to thy word. And so the question is asked, how can we do this? Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? How can we stay clean? How can we stay pure? How can we stay right? It's very simple. It's answered by God by taking heed thereto according to thy word.
Amen.
That's how you stay clean.
Amen.
That's how you stay doing right. Is by heeding the Bible.
Amen.
Doing the Bible. Really, when you stop and think about it, it's that easy. This is not a complicated message. This is not a complicated... God didn't make it complicated. I just don't understand. No, we understand completely what we have to do. The Israelites were warned time and time again. Have you ever, as you're going through the Bible, come to where the Israelites messed up and say, what are you doing that for?
Yeah.
I've done that many, many times. What are you doing? When I start reading Genesis again, Adam, please don't... Eve, don't listen to the... We have those kind of weird little thoughts sometimes. I have weird little thoughts because I'm just a weirdo. But we do. We have these thoughts sometimes. Why? Don't do that. Don't do that. You're going to get in trouble. Whatever. And yet, you know that you can't go in and change the happenings of what takes place there. But you can learn from their mistakes.
Amen.
From their sin. And you can say, they did that. I'm not going to do that. That's good advice.
Amen.
The Israelites were warned time and time again. Over and over and over and over and over again. But did they always listen?
No.
They listened some. Right? Like you do. You listen some of the time. But there's other times that you mess up too. The Israelites are like that. And Paul and I were talking about that recently. I mean, we're so much like the Israelites. So much like them. It cost them their lives. How many thousands and even millions of Israelite Jews died during the wilderness wanderings? Prior to the wilderness one, after the wilderness one, during all of the things that Israel was going through. I mean, it just, the warnings weren't heeded all the time. The wilderness journey of 40 years was, it was their fault that they ended up going through the wilderness for 40 years. Joshua sent them off to spy out, or Moses sent them, I'm sorry, to spy out the land, and they were gone for 40 days. And only two came back with a good report, Joshua and Caleb. The rest of them said, we can't do it, there's giants there, we're like grasshoppers, they're going to, you know, eat us up and spit us out and all kinds of horrible things. And God says, okay, that's the way you want it. I sent you in there for 40 days. Now you're going to wander for 40 years in the wilderness. How many times do we read through the book of Judges, another country comes in, a nation comes in and oppresses the Jews? 18 years and 20-some years. And it's just a constant thing where they're oppressed, they're ruled. I mean, they have to hide in caves and behind stalks of hay and wheat and things. And they're hiding constantly because the oppressor has come in. Why? Because they didn't heed the warnings from God. You know the Bible warns us against sin? I never counted how many warnings there are in the Bible, and I'll tell you one thing, there's a lot of them. I told you a little while ago, there's 18 warnings and cautions in that little booklet of mine, in the first 17 pages of that little booklet. How many warnings are there in the Bible? I'd say thousands. And thousands. And thousands. Do you know the Bible warns us against sin? Look at Proverbs 24. Proverbs chapter 24. And verse 9. Proverbs 24, verse 9. How many warnings in the Bible are there against alcohol use, right? I mean, the Bible is just full of things like that. Warning us about certain things. How many warnings are there about adultery and fornication and things like that in the Bible?
Amen.
How many warnings are there about lying? We're constantly on our kids in school when we catch them in a lie. Tell them, listen, this is not right. God didn't create you to lie. And we take them through Scripture and we show them that. The Bible warns us about gossiping. I mean, there's so many different warnings in the Bible that we could talk all day about the different warnings. But here in Proverbs chapter 24, look at verse 9. The thought of foolishness is what?
Sin.
And the scorner is an abomination to men. Did you ever just have a foolish thought? Oh my. We have a foolish thought probably every day? Uh-huh. Probably. Multiple foolish thoughts. Two today? Yeah. The Bible says the thought of foolishness is sin. That foolish, nonsensical thought that you had was a sin. We are to ask God to forgive us of those things.
Amen.
Amen. It tells us, hey, watch your thoughts. Foolish thoughts are a sin. Some people don't realize that, but that's what the Bible says. Go back to Proverbs 21 and verse 4. 21 verse 4. And high look and a proud heart and the plowing of the wicked is sin. Makes it very clear what sin is. Look at Romans chapter 14, New Testament. Romans 14, verse 23. Romans 14, 23. You ought to be writing these verses down so you know what the Bible, how it defines what sin is. Romans chapter 14, look at verse 23. Might help if I get out of Romans 15 and go back to 14. That looks better. Romans 14, 23. He that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Did you ever have just a little lack of faith in your life?
Yep,
you have, because I have. We all have. We've lacked a little faith here and there. Maybe not all the time, but there are times in our life that we lack that. We lack faith. I brought a message out long ago about contending for the faith in the book of Jude. So vitally important that we contend, we fight for, we maintain our faith.
Amen.
Whatsoever is not of faith, the Bible says, is sin. You see the seriousness of this? James chapter 4, verse 17. James 4, 17. James 4, verse 17. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good, and doeth it not, to him it is sin. You know you should do something good, and you don't do it, it's a sin. I'm not laughing at it, I'm just saying, all of these have gotten me already today. Every one of these. I'm guilty in every one of these verses. 1 John 5:17. All unrighteousness is sin. It doesn't say some unrighteousness. It doesn't say just a few. It says all unrighteousness is sin. And there is a sin not unto death. So the warnings in the Bible are plenty. They're there. The warnings on what I want you to know what sin is. And so he spells it out throughout the entire Bible. Do you know that sin will always take you further than you wanted to go? Did you know that sin will always cost you more than you ever wanted to pay? Did you know that sin will always keep you longer than you ever wanted to stay? Did you ever know that sin will bring trouble that you didn't expect? Do you know that sin will take you places that you never really wanted to go? Sin will ruin a life faster than anything else. That's called sin. Romans 6:23, the Bible says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Look at that. Romans 5, 12. Romans 5, 12. "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Stop blaming Adam for everything. Stop blaming somebody else for your sin problem. Blame yourself. Our pride doesn't want to do that, though, does it? Mm-mm. It's her fault, his fault, their fault, government's fault, pastor's fault, my wife, my husband, whatever. It's always somebody else's fault that we have our problems. People don't like to blame themselves for anything, because we'd have to take ownership on that.
Yeah.
But when you humble yourself and say, "It was my fault, I did it," there's just something about that humility that God honors and blesses. One of the biggest things that we have a problem with sometimes with kids is just admit it. We caught you. We saw you. We know what you did. Or somebody ratted you out. "I'm sorry, but hey, you were told on." Just admit it. "No, it wasn't me. It wasn't me." And it's like, okay, now I know how God feels a little bit.
Yeah.
But the warnings are there in Scripture. How many warnings did Jesus Christ and God put in the Bible about hell?
Amen.
Amen. Jesus talked about it. He gave us the warnings in Luke chapter 16 and Mark 9 and some of the other places. We're running out of time. We don't have time to look at all of them. But Revelation 20, Revelation 21:8. I mean, the lake of fire, hell, there's warnings in the Bible about that. People say, "Well, I don't believe in hell," or "I don't think God could send anybody to hell." God doesn't send anybody to hell except the devil and the angels. He created hell for the devil and his angels. He didn't create the hell for the human being. He created heaven for the human being. And he gives the human being, you and I, the choice of what we want when we die. We've got a choice. Isn't that good that God gives you a choice?
Yeah.
He doesn't force you. If you don't want to go to heaven, he's not going to force you into heaven. If you don't want to go there. But you got to be kind of trying to be nice. You got to. There's a problem when you think you don't want to go to heaven. Because the only alternative, there's nothing else out there that's an alternative except for hell. A lake of fire. Burning in torments, according to Luke chapter 16. Where the worm dieth not. Is that a place that you want to spend eternity in? Of course you don't want to spend eternity there. So the Bible gives us warnings about that. I've said this countless times. If you stand in front of God someday and you've never been saved, you cannot blame God for going to hell. Because He's given you the opportunity to be saved. Somehow, some way, somewhere in your past, God gave you that opportunity. God put it in your heart. The Holy Spirit convicted you. You heard a message. You read a gospel tract. You read or heard something. Even on TV or the radio. Maybe a preacher was preaching or saw an old Billy Graham or whatever. I mean, at least the gospel is out there. God gives people the opportunity to be saved. The warnings are there. The warning bells are going off all the time. And yet, we just tune them out. We don't want to hear those warning bells. We have a fairly new car out there. It's got the little thing where if you're going down the road and you get too close to one center line or the sideline, I mean, it beeps and grabs the steering wheel. You can feel the steering wheel pulling you back. It's like, hey, dummy, you know, pay attention. I mean, those are warnings for us when you're driving down the road. There's all kinds of things like that. You get too close to somebody in front of you, and the warning comes on, and the car slows down. You're backing up. If you get too close to something, ding, ding, you know, I mean, it's warning you, telling you, hey, you're getting a little close to something back there. I mean, there's warnings. They're there for a reason. God gave us Ten Commandments. Ten Commandments. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Honor thy father and thy mother. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. And thou shalt not covet. Ten Commandments. And we have a hard time doing that. But God put them there in the Bible, not just for Israel, but for us too. Those are good commandments for Israel, yes, but they're good commandments for us too.
Amen.
The warnings of this Bible are innumerable. There's so many here. But when we know that we're supposed to do something from the instruction manual and we ignore it, it's not the instruction manual writer's fault. It's the person or persons that are reading the instruction manual or not reading the instruction manual. I hope I made myself somewhat clear today that this is very, very important. My little grinder book, about this big, nothing compared to this. But I have an instruction manual for life here. Tells me what to do and what not to do. Even tells me what kind of an attitude I should have. There's everything in here that I need to run my life in an effective, good, godly way. It's up to me. Do I read the instruction manual and do I do what it says or do I ignore it? Like so often we ignore the instruction manuals, we get into little boxes of things. Folks, this is God's instruction manual for life. This is more important than anything else you'll ever read on this planet.
Amen.
No matter what it is you buy, it comes with a big book, it's got all kinds of warnings in it. This is more important. This is for life. This is how important it is. So often we get the instructions and we ignore it. And you don't have an excuse today by ignoring the Bible. I don't think you're going to get to heaven someday and blame me for all the stuff you don't know. I can't teach you everything. A Sunday school teacher can't teach you everything. A priest, a pope, a pastor can't teach you everything. It's up to you to heed this book.
Amen.
It's up to you to heed the warning. It's up to you to know what it says and do it.
Amen.
Being a doer of the word and not a hearer only. Father, thank you again for the warnings that we have in Scripture. We pray that you'd speak to our hearts and show us how important this book is. To show us how important your law is, your commandments are to us. Lord, we need to heed them. We need to not just read it, but we need to heed it. We need to do what this book says. This is our instruction manual for life. This is our instruction manual for our marriages and for our families and for businesses and for everything. Our making money, no matter what it is that we do in life, there's instruction in here that helps us with that. Lord, we love you today. And again, thank you for this book. Thank you, Lord, for the warnings that we have in this book.
Amen.
Help us to heed them. Lord, I pray that if there's anybody here today or anybody listening online that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, that today would be their day of salvation. Speak to hearts now in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. We'll have an invitation. You know Christ as your Savior.